Okay, Svarandef, Mem Tadam and Allah 49a, page 97. So if you remember yesterday, we learned to halakha in a brisa. The brisa said 8 lines from the bottom on Mem Tadam and Beis, Tana Masara Ablu Shluchi Abab, Zinta Rezu Bechenek, that if the father gave his daughter over, in other words, she's a Nara, that's a Betula, and he gave her over to the Shluchi Abal, so her whole status changes. In other words, once she's in the Rishis Shluchi Abal, everything is different. Now, if she was Mazana, it would be Skila. Now, if she's Mazana, it's Chenek. And in the Mishnah, we also learned that if the Shluchi Abal give her the Shluchi Av, Harehi Bershadav. He says, the Shluchi Abal, Harehi Bershadav. Now she's Bershad Abal. So on top line of Mem Tadam Aleph, the Ema, Hechad the Hajj of the Beinasha, Hajj of the Milta Kamites. The Gemara says, what if she says, you know, like they give her over to the Shluchi Abal, and she says, if she travels with them for an hour, says, I'm going back home, I'm leaving. Now, does her halachic status return, go back to the status quo ante? So, Amarava, Hukvar Paskin Tan to be responsible. So, Rava says, the answer to this was already passed out by the Tana from the basement of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana to be Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana taught in the Bryce of Bryce in the basement of Rabbi Shmuel. Again, when a young girl is in her father's house, the father can revoke her vows. When she's married, the husband can revoke the vows. And then usually between Eris and Nisuin, they could both get together and revoke the vows. But the Pasuk says, if she's an almana, a widow, or a grusha, a divorcee, there's nobody to revoke the vows anymore. She's out of the father's house. She's out of the husband's house. And it's finished. So the Braisa says, Ma Tama Lomar, why do I need the Pasuk to even teach me that? It's too simple. Why would I even think that the husband or the Baal, and there was a husband divorced her or dead, so he's not going to be the one to revoke her vows, and she's outside the father's house, so why would I even have such a Havamina? So the Gemara, the Braisa is learning that this is teaching me a more fancier case. Ella, if the case is that the father gave her over to the Shluchi Abal, in other words, the messengers from the husband, or the father gave her over to the Shluchi Abal, and then, if it's Armala Badera, and then, while she's in transit, after she's already been given over to Shluchi Abal, he dies, or he suddenly decides to divorce her. So he says, Heachani Koreba. So now, what pasuk should I apply to her under these circumstances? In other words, so she was given over to the Shluchi Abal, but now the Baal has terminated everything. So now, what pasuk applies to her? Let's see back in the Braisa. Heachani Koreba, Beit Aviya Shozu. In other words, she's not in her father's house anymore. Or Beit Baal Shozu, not there. El Lamar Lefa. So the Bryce is teaching me that the case that the Pasuk and the Chumash is teaching me is a case just like this, that there's nobody who can revoke her vows anymore. In other words, again, so she was given over by the Shluchei Ha'av to Shluchei Abal, and then in transit, the husband dies or divorces her. That's the case the Pasuk and the Chumash is referring to, that nobody can revoke her vows, meaning there's no... that once she's out of the father's house, she's finished, it's gone, Gamarni, with the whole thing. And she's not in the husband's house either. Okay, so that should answer our question. So that being the case, so once she leaves the father's house, so then she's, you know, not Lechora, not Skila anymore, would be Chanek, and all the other deen would apply. So Amar Rapapa says, Afanan Nami Tanina. We learned the same thing. Now, this is going back to the Bryce that we said at the beginning of today's staff, which we learned yesterday, that Masar Ablu Shluchi Abal Bezinta Rezi Bechenek, that if the father gives her over to the Shluchi Abal, and at that point she's Mizana, she has, you know, relations with somebody, so her Mita is Chenek, strangulation, as opposed to Skila, which she would have had up till now. So now, coming back to our Gemara, Amar Papa, Rapapa says, Afana Nami Tanina. We learned that in the Braisa, but a careful reading of the Mishnayot also yields the same result. And this is a Mishnah in the Masechet Sanhedrin. Habal Nara Murasa, if a person has relations with Nara Murasa, she's a Nara and she's Mureset, in other words, she went through Erisin, so she's married. Enu Chayav, So he means he's Eino Chayev. He says that he's not Chayev Skila. He means he says Eino Chayev Ajte Nara Betula Maorasa Bibirabia. That she has to be, in other words, in order to be Chayev Skila, which is the sort of like Yotze Dofen case, then she has to be a Nara Betula and Maorasa, and she has to be Berabia. So Bishlema Nara Velo Bogeret. So I understand the Gemara now is darshening that the Mishnah. Nara, she has to be a Nara, she can be Bogeret. Okay, that's H. Betula Velo Beula. She has to be Betula and not a Beula also. Murasa Velo Nesua. So this we learned yesterday, Murasa Velo Nesua, that if she went through Chuppah, even though she hasn't had relations with her husband, she's also not in the Parsha anymore. But Bevei Rabia Lemiyute Mai. Why do I need the term Bevei Rabia? He says, "Lav lemiyute masar av lushluchei abal." Is it not to sue the case? So, in other words, Gemara is saying that if the father gave her over to the shluchei abal, then indeed also it's not chayv skil anymore. In other words, her situation has changed. In other words, so even before she gets to the chuppah, if he gives her over to the shluchei abal, now it's not skil anymore. Now it's benek. So if that's the Gemara understands the Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin is yielding the same result that we learned in the Braisa. Now let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause and we'll summarize and we'll go forward. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kafanana Mitanina. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says there's another Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin where we could do the same thing. The Mishnah says Habal Eishadish came in Shechel Shudabal when he suin Al Mishnah Nivala Habala Reis Bechenik. So this Mishnah, it's talking about all the people who are chayv kenik, which is strangulation. So the Mishnah says, "Habal eishadish, if a person has relations with a married woman, when he's suing, once that woman has entered the rishus, and it was the domain of the husband for purposes of nisuin, afal pish lo nivala, even though she hasn't had relations with him, habal reizah b'chenik, nichnas al rishuta baal la'alma." So from the expansive language of the Mishnah, nichnas al rishuta baal means under any circumstances, if she's nichnas to the Rishuta Baal, so the Gemara takes it, it would be any circumstance. So if the Shluchei Aviyah give over to the Shluchei Baal, that would also qualify Shmamina. Okay, let me just summarize what we did, then we'll take some questions, comments, thoughts, and we'll move on. Okay, so again, we learned to Bryson yesterday's Gemara that if her father gives her over to the Shluchei Baal, then she's not Chayiv Skilub, she's Mizan anymore, she's Chayiv Chenek. And the Gemara has a drasha, there's no Beit Aviyah. That in order to be Chayv Skila, she has to be Mizana B'Veid Abiyah. So our Gemara began today to ask, what if she, you know, let's say she's in transit. In other words, the Mishnah spoke about a case where the Shluchei Av, you know, gave her over to the Shluchei Baal. Let's say she's in a stagecoach, is the way I like to imagine it. You know, like one stagecoach, another stagecoach. And, you know, so the Shluchei Baal bring her over to whatever the city is and give her over to the other stagecoach. And now she's with the Shluchei Baal. And then she says, you know what, I'm out of here, goodbye. So now does she go back? I'm going home. I'll see you guys around. So now does she go back to her status quo ante? So the Gemara ends up saying absolutely not. And the Gemara has a drasha from the pasuk by Nedarim. It says Veneder Almana Grusha Kol Hashras Ranafshal Yikum Aleha. If an Almana or a Grusha make a neder, then she's out of gas. There's nobody to revoke the vow. Not her father. Not her husband. She's an Almana widow or a Grusha divorcee. So the Gemara says, it's so pashut, why did Torah even have to teach me? Right, it is so pashut. The Torah didn't have to teach me that case. So the Gemara says that the pasuk is really referring to a more complicated case, just like the one we were discussing, where, you know, like the shluchei ha'av divorced the shluchei ha'baal, and then at that point, the baal divorces her or dies, then, so can she go back to the father's house? And the answer is no. Then we had a drasha, we had the same idea from the Mishnah, two Mishnah items, Sechet Sanhedrin. So one says, if the Mishnah says, Habal Narom Rosa Eino Chayav, but she Narom Betul Bo Rosa, but he Beveid Avia, that she has to be Beveid Avia in order to be Chayav Skila. So what does it mean, be Beveid Avia? We had already, she's got to be Nara, she's got to be Betula, and she has to be Morasa. That way, God, what is Beveid Avia? What is that coming to exclude? So it's coming to exclude where she's a Nara, Betula, and she's Morasa, but she's not Beveid Aviyah. She went over to the Shluchei Habal, then there's no Skila anymore. Then we had one more Mishnah that says, Habal Eishadish, coming to the Rishud Habal, and he's suing after Mishlo Nibala, Habal Erez Bechenik. If she comes to the Rishud Habal for purposes of entering into Nisuin, So then it's chenek. So the Rishus HaBaal means even if it's the Shluchei HaBaal. Okay, who's the question that comes to us on anything I did so far? No, what's up, Rafi? That's what that's what we've been discussing. So again, she's already mu'reset. So she needs a get to get out of the whole situation. So she went through Averson already. That we got. And now, but we're trying to figure out what are her other dinim in terms of, let's say, Mita, which if she's Mizana, what Mita would she have? And for Nadarim, we discussed. Averson is the Kiddushin. It's the same thing. Averson and Kiddushin is the same thing. So Murasami, she's Mikudeshet. That's what we're saying. Okay. We'll say again. Who's Chayav Mizonot for her? So you mean, at which point? When she's with the Shluchei Av, then she's Chayav. Once she's given over to the Shluchei Baal, I would assume that the Baal is Chayav to take care of her, feeding her. That's what I would assume. Okay. It doesn't matter one or two. In other words, giving over. Oh, Yichud, yeah, okay, but I mean, they could be outside also. You know, it doesn't have to be a stagecoach. You know, it could be, and I don't know if a stagecoach would be Yichud, you know, like they got windows and stuff like that. But it's like being in a car with a woman and something like that. So anyway, so any other questions come? Well, skid the straight the herring with Chanuk. One difference would be where she gets to be buried. Because the Srafim and the Skalim are buried in one cemetery. But the thing is, it's a din Torah. In other words, Skila Torah has one death penalty here and a different penalty there. Yeah. I mean, Skila and Strafa is obviously worse than Harry Khanik. So it's more Chamor, but more than that, I can't say. All right. Any other questions? Everybody good? All right. All right. One second. Let me see if I have it here. What's his Mem 10? All right, let's take a look. Okay, we're going on to the next Mishnah. Okay, so our Mem Ped Amud Aleph on the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud. Okay, so Manitin, everybody with me? A father is not obligated to support his daughter, and we'll explain the Gemara. There's a lot of Gemara is about this, and we'll see what goes on with this. Avinu Chayv Mizono Bito, the Medrash Darash Reb Lazar Ben Azariah and Chachamim Bekar Biyavne. Reb Lazar Ben Azariah made the following drash for the coming Kerem Yavne, and Rashi says on the day that he was appointed to be the Nasi, and you know there was an incident that goes over in Masechet Brachot, how they removed Rabbi Gamliel from being a Nasi, and then he was 18 years old and became the Nasi. And so he darshan habanim yershuv abanot yizonu. So there's a Mishnah later on that says on Nun Bey, so we'll have it in a few days. The Mishnah says that there are certain Tanai Ketubah, there are certain stipulations that are assumed at law to be in the Ketubah, even if they're not explicitly written into the Ketubah. And two of the stipulations that are assumed to be in the Ketubah, let's look at Rashi, 10 lines above where it gets wider, 15 lines. Habanim Yeshuba, Benot Yizonu. Shteka Kadasigdu Beitin, Betanai Ketubah. Habanim Yeshu, when it says that the sons will Yarshin, it means Ketubah Benin Dichrin. That's a term of art. In other words, it means ketubah for male children. We'll see in a minute. He said, "Tidnan ba'nitim." We learn the mission later on. Benin differing diavin lichiminoi, that any male children that, in other words, the husband would be writing this to the wife. That any male children that we have together, inan yartin kesef tubateh, they'll yarshin the money that's in your ketubah. Yeter alfukay and dimachuon, in addition to whatever their chelik is with other brothers. In other words, the man may have had more than one wife or married several times. But let's say he's got, you know, five sons from prior marriages, and now he's marrying this woman. So she's bringing in money in her ksuba. And the Gemara, the way I remember, says that it could even be like she has a dowry. And in other words, like from her family, they're giving her all this money. And the family and what they're giving her, it could be land, the other things. They don't want everything alienated too. Like, I don't want it going to these, you know, like fremd dimension, like these people have nothing to do with us. So the stipulation is assuring that it will remain in her sort of bloodline. Yeah, so he says, that's one stipulation. And then, five lines before it gets wider, Rashi, the daughters will be supported, any female children we have together, they'll be entitled to dwell in my house and be supported from my property. Ad Tibagrun, until become Bogrot, which isn't so old. 12, oh, Ad Tilakun Leguvrin, or until they're married. I said, right, 12 and a half, right, or they get married. So, but anyway, those are two stipulations. So back in the Mishnah, wait, give me three lines, I'll pause, okay? So he says, so back in the Mishnah, so the Rezar Darshan like this. He says, in the Ksuba, there's two stipulations. Habanim Yershu, the sons will Yarshan, Habanot Yizonu, and the daughters will be, you know, supported. Mahabanimin and Yarshan Lachar Mitara'av, he said, just like the sons are only Yarshaning after the death of the father, Afabanon in Yizonu, the Lachar Mitara'avim. So, too, the stipulation that the daughters will be supported refers to after the death of the father. That's what it's referring to. So again, so the Mishnah is saying that a father is not chayev to support his children. We'll see more and more about this. So it's going to come out, and Daniel had seen one of the footnotes, but it's going to come out in the Gemara that till age six, absolutely he has to support them. But after that, we'll see in a minute what the story is. Well, okay, fine. Okay, so any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, so let's see back. So, in other words, whether it's written or not written, we assume it's assumed to be a law, a stipulation. Which one is, Michael? No, they're not in a ksuba today. No, you must have a different ksuba. I've never seen them in a ksuba like that. No. It's not in if you go to a marriage, it's not in any ksuba. You've heard the ksuba read a million times at a wedding. You know, they don't have any, there's no stipulation like that. No. It's not in the ksuba today. Okay, let's take a look back on the Gemara. In other words, whether it's written in or not written in, it's assumed that law to be in the ksuba, okay? All right, let's see. Everybody okay? All right, so
Michael,
okay, now, Gemara says, B'mizonot, b'itohu de'no chayev, b'mizonot b'no chayev. So the Gemara assumes, since the Tanna Mishnah says, the father is not obligated to b'mizonot b'ito, that would lead me to think that he is obligated to give b'mizonot to his son, Lekora. That's what Gemara thinks. B'mizonot b'itohu de'no chayev, b'mizonot b'no chayev. And then Bitonami Chova Hudaleka Hamitzvah. And then the Gemara thinks that his daughter is not obligatory, but it's a mitzvah. It's an appropriate thing that he should do to support the daughter. So those are the two things. So we think from our understanding of the Mishnah that we're saying things that aren't written explicitly in the Mishnah, but inferring from the Mishnah that there is an obligation to support the sons and it's a mitzvah to support the daughters. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Bani Manitin, assuming that to be correct, who does our Mishnah go like? Lo Rameir. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Yochanan Broka. It doesn't seem like our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, as we'll see their opinions in another line or two. The Tani, we learned the Brisa, Mitzvah Lezun and Habanot, Kavachomer Labanim, Da Aski B'Torah, Div Rameir. Rameir says there's a mitzvah to support both his sons and his daughters, but even more so the sons because they study Torah, even more so the sons. So he learns there's a mitzvah to support both of them. So the way we understood the Mishnah is a chovah to support the sons and a mitzvah to support the daughters. So the Mishnah doesn't look like it's going like Rameir. He says a mitzvah to support both, but he says there's more of a mitzvah to support the sons. Now, the article quoted Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says, what does that mean, more of a mitzvah? Mitzvah to support the one of the mitzvah? What difference does it make who's more of a mitzvah? So he wanted to say that, let's say a person doesn't have enough money to support both, so he would say, Rameir said the sons get priority. One second. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, mitzvah lezun and habanim is a mitzvah to support the sons, but kavachomer lebano, in other words, kavachomer for the daughter. So he's giving primacy to the first opinion, gave primacy to the boys, even though mitzvah to support both. Second opinion is a mitzvah to support both, but he's giving primacy to the daughters, because it's degrading for daughters to have to go around to beg. Or another pshat is, it's like, you know, we're afraid of like where this is going to lead with daughters, you know, and things like that. Okay, So those two opinions, the Mishnah can't be like either one. Those two opinions hold that the mitzvah support boys and girls. And our Mishnah, we think, holds it's an obligation to support the boys and a mitzvah to support the girls. Now, the third opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Broka says it's an obligation to support the daughters after the death of the father, which we saw in the Mishnah as well. That was the stipulation from the Ksuba. In the life of the father, neither one is supported. Zero for both. So it's obviously not like him. So mani manitin. So who is our Mishnah going according to? E Rabbi Meir, if we'll say Rameir, which is like choice number one, Hamar Banim Mitzvah. He says that is not just a mitzvah to support daughters, but it's a mitzvah to support boys, not a chova, not like that. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Banim Nami Mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda also holds the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, I feel a mitzvah Nami Leka. Rabbi Yochanan Broka says there's no mitzvah to support either one, and certainly not a chova to support boys, and not a mitzvah to support girls. So where are we up to? So Ibayim Rameir, Ibayim Rabbi Yehuda, Ibayim Rabbi Yochanan Broka. So Gemara says, the emes is, I can reconcile our Mishnah with any one of those opinions. How so? Ibayim and Rameir, Bahat Yamar. I can say our Mishnah is, you know, is in conformity with Rav Meir, and the Mishnah means as follows. So this is the way we're going to understand our Mishnah. Avi no chayav mizono bito, the father, this is what the Mishnah, again, our Mishnah said, Avi no chayav mizono bito. That's what our Mishnah said. So to make it go with Rav Meir, we're going to say, he says, Avi no chayav mizono bito, v'hu adin lebino, the same thing is by the son, but there is a mitzvah to support the daughter, and kavachomer, there's a mitzvah to support the sons. So, again, Rameir says the sons study Torah. So in other words, so when our Mishnah says that a person is not chayiv to support the daughter, so you're not chayiv to support the sons either, but there's a mitzvah to support the daughters, and there's certainly a mitzvah to support the sons, because they study Torah. But hayta katani bito, then why did the Tan of our Mishnah mention just the daughter? Hakamash Malan, this is what he's teaching me. Top line on Amid Beis. The Afilu Bito, Kobo Hudleka, that even his daughter, even though the boys get primacy because they're studying Torah, the daughter, there's no obligation, a mitzvah ikah. But there's nevertheless a mitzvah to support the daughters. And Rashi says, the top line in Rashi, the Afilu Bito, Dekila, Dlo Aska Baraita. That in other words, the Tana of our Mishnah is teaching me that even, in other words, there's no chova to support the daughters, but there is a mitzvah to support the daughters, even though they don't study Torah. That's the first opinion. Okay? Let me do the other two opinions, then we'll pause, take questions and comments, and go on. Okay? All right, now, he says, V'ibay deima Rabbi Yehuda. Or, I could say that our Mishnah is according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda held that there's a mitzvah to support both of them, but there's priority for the daughters, because we're afraid for Ziluta. We're afraid that the degradation if they go around. Be like Rabbi Yehuda, and this is what the Tana Mishnah is teaching. Ha'av, eino chayav mizonor bito, the father is not obligated to support his daughter, the chosh king livno, and certainly the son is not obligated. In other words, the daughter has priority here. Ha'mitzvah livno ika, but there is a mitzvah to support the son, the kavachomer lebanot, and certainly there's a mitzvah to support the daughters. Ba'hadik tani bito, and why did the Tana teach me that there's no obligation to support the daughters, but there's a mitzvah? Hakamash Malan, the Filu Bito Chovaleka, that even the daughter who I'm most concerned about, because I'm afraid of Ziluta, like degradation, if she would go around to ask for food, even with that, notwithstanding that, at the end of the day, it's not a chova, it's just a mitzvah. Okay, and now the third opinion, the Ibai Demer Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, or I could say that our Mishnah can be construed in conformity with Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Then Rabbi Yochanan Broka said this is no chova, there's no mitzvah for either one. Bahafi Kamar, Enochayab, this is what the Tana Mishnah means. Enochayab Mizona Bito, there's no obligation to support Mizona with his daughter. Huadin Livno, same thing with the son. Huadin Dafil Mitzvah Nami Lakam, there's no mitzvah, there's no chiv, there's no mitzvah for anybody. Ba'ai Dibano, Lafar Mita Rabin Chova, but since we know that after the death of the father, and we learned the stipulation in the Ksuba, so there's an obligation for the estate to support the daughters, so Tana Nami Enochayab. So he teaches, in other words, there is a chayvot after the death of the father. So therefore, the Tana says, eino chayav, when the father's alive, there's no obligation to support it. After he's dead, you are. But that's why he says that. All right, now, let's see. Okay, I think we're good so far. Let me just pause for a second. Okay, who's got questions, comments? So at the end of the day, it comes out that our Mishnah could be like either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, who hold there's a mitzvah to support the sons and daughters, that no chova, that could be. Or Tana of our Mishnah can be like Rabbi Broka, that there's no chiyuv and there's no mitzvah, there's nothing. And the only reason he said the daughters, there's no chova because there is a chova after he's dead, but during lifetime, not. Okay. Well, like, what do you mean? Either one of the three? So that preferably we would not do it that way because we don't know any of the Tana that has a different opinion. So in other words, the Gemara said it doesn't seem like it's anyone's. The Gemara says it could be like any one of them. So if it could be like a known Shita, I assume we'd prefer to go like a known Shita rather than go into like the dark, unknown area. Okay. We'll say again, what? You mean Eved Ivri or Eved Kanani? Well, Eved Ivri is his Kitov Lo Imach, so an Eved Ivri, he's got to give him even better than he has. And then we learned by the Eved Kanani, we learned that there was no obligation, at least according to one opinion, to support the Eved Kanani. So again, so it's going to come out to the age of six that you're obligated, but then after the age of six, then all bets are off. That's where we're going. Okay? All right. Oh, okay. What? You mean in terms of supporting the children? Well, it seems like from Chazal, like the obligation seems mostly on him, not on her, but I don't know what to say. Well, all right, let me see. You're right. Six and above, then okay. All right. Now we'll see in a minute. Okay, so let's look. I'm going to go further in the Gemara. Everybody's okay. Everybody okay? All right, so around 10 lines down on Mem Tenu and Beis. So Amar Rabbi Yilah, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we have Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina, but on the side he says, it should be Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So Reish Lakish has Masora from the Tan, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. But Usha Kinu, and Usha they enacted. Now, Usha, we know, let's look at the third white line of Rashi. Usha Kinu, Sheshvu Sanhedrin Gazid, but Usha, Sheyachat Miyester Gal Yod, Shegalta Sanhedrin, because I'm a Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara said, Rosh Hashanah says, that the Sanhedrin means the Sanhedrin Agadol, like Rashi says, Sanhedrin Gazit. In other words, the 71-member Sanhedrin, that their place is really in Lishkat Gazit, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. But 40 years before the Korban Beis HaMikdash, they left the Lishkat Gazit. I think the Gemara says that they stopped imposing the death penalty, and then they went to different places. First they went to Chanuyot, they went here, and then one of the places they went to, I think the last place they went to, was Usha. Usha's a town in the Galil in Eretz Yisrael. So when I'm going to have tomorrow, Bli Neder, Takanas Usha with Staka, everybody knows, or I think that's a little more famous. So back in our Gemara. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, or Rabbi Law says, and Reish Lakish, who has a Masor from Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Usha Kinu Shneidam Zanabana Viabanotav Shem Ketanim. They established that a person should support his children when they're Ketanim. Now let's look at the Taptosos. Shem Ketanim. Of all kitani kitanim, like really toddlers, the chuliyama chayav, because I'm still pericopopy. So the Gemara later is going to say, say six, you have to definitely support the kids. But we're talking about above age six. So he says, this Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, that there was an enactment in Usha that a person should support his kids even when they're like older than six till they enter puberty. So Ibai Lahu, Hilchot Kvatei, when Hilchot Kvatei, is the halacha like Rabbi Ilah and the Rish Lakish or not? Now, what does that mean? Is the halacha like him? He just said it's an enactment in Usha. So one hesper is that it means do we accept that they did make such an enactment or not? In other words, he's reporting, this Rabbi Ilah is reporting the name of Rish Lakish, going back to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, that there was such an enactment. But do we accept it, that there was indeed such an enactment? Okay, let's take a look. So Tashma. Now, the Gemara is going to bring a series of incidents in which Chachamim shamed or tried to shame parents who weren't supporting their kids. But the fact that they were trying to shame them and they didn't like issue like a psak din from the Beis Din to seize money for the kids, that shows that we don't accept it, that there was such an enactment. Because if there was an enactment, they wouldn't be shaming them. They'd say, here's the din, you got to pay up, right? No. Usha is already in the time of Tanayim. This is the time of Orion. So Usha would have been earlier. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. So he says, Tashma, ki hava atu l'kami to Rabbi Yehuda, but it means when fathers would come before Rabbi Yehuda who were like, you know, recalcitrant and weren't, you know, paying, you know, for their kids' needs, amar lahu, he said to them, Yerud Yalda, like a jackal gives birth, babanei matashadya, and then he says, they throw their kids like on the public dole. He says, meaning, you know, not the way you didn't do this right. Kiava atu l'kamid Rav Chista, when people, you know, parents would come before Rav Chista, amar lahu, kifule asita b'tzibura. Say kifule asita. Asita is a mortar. in other words, like a mortar, like a big bowl, flip over this big bowl in the tzibur, he says, v'leikum v'leima, and then get up and say. Now, the question of who gets up and says it. So Rashi's pshat, let's look at Rashi. He says, kfu le'asita, it's around the 10th narrow line from the top. Kfu machteshet alpia. So we had asita and we have machteshet, but it was mortar. He says, v'yamodze al gav shuleh begova. In other words, that the father who's not paying for the child should stand up on it. Shishmu kolo, that he can hear his voice, v'yakrizal atzmo, he should announce concerning himself, shuhu ra min ha'orvim, that he's worse than the ravens. The orva ba'ibane, that a raven likes its offspring, u'gavra lo ba'ibane. Bita mefarshe, some say it means like not that the father should stand up, but some public, you know, official should stand on it. Yomar kein ol toaish and say concerning this person. So in other words, the idea is you want to shame the person. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, "Is the amar lehu kfuli asita b'tzibura v'leikom v'leima orva by bane a raven like takes care of its own offspring." Who gavrilu by bani? But this person, either the person saying about himself or somebody else saying about him, doesn't like take care of his kids. So the Gemara says, "Wherever by bani, and the raven takes care of its offspring." So this is the Pesuk of Zimmer, I think we say every day, right? That Hashem takes care of like the offspring of the raven. So it sounds like the raven doesn't take care of the offspring. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha haba sibri haba ukme." So the pasuk is talking about offspring that are white, and the ravens that do take care of their offspring is when they're ukme, that's when they're black. So let's take a look back in the Rashis. So he says, in the Rashi around the 15th narrow line, says, L'vnei Reva Shekro, Alma lo zayin lehu. So it sounds like that the orev doesn't take care of the kids. So ukme shegadal mashfir, he says, when the way Rashi takes it, when the ravens are young, their feathers are more white. When they get older, they turn black. Then the parents love them. But initially, they're white. That's what Rashi wants to say. What? Yeah. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. He says, now, when a person who is not supporting his kids would come for Rava, Amarle, Nikolak, the Mitzene, Benecham, Yitztaka. He says, would you prefer that your children be supported from tzedakah? He says, "V'lo Amron el z'lo Amid." So all the foregoing is only where the parent is not wealthy. Well, Amid, if he's a wealthy parent, then we would force him to support the kids. He had the rabba, like Rabba Kafile Rav Nathan Bar Ami, Rabba forced Rav Nathan Bar Ami, but Apik Mini Arba Me'ezuzi the tzedakah. He forced him to disgorge 400 zuzim for tzedakah. All right, now let's take a look. By the way, that's the shot that I said from Rashi. But if you look at Tosfos, let me go earlier. Second Tosfos, Haba Chibre Haba Ukme, Tosfos Shneimine Orvim Yesh. Tosfos learns not that the kids are white and get black, is that there's two types of ravens, one are white and one black. Ishikalaban Bechat Shachor, Mukha Perkel Kefuk Damisne Opo to Marba Orim Hamati, Ubaharisha Amati. Anyway, the idea being that, you know, one takes care of the kids, one doesn't. Okay, now, next Tosfos, Achie Rava. Rava forced this person to disgorge money for tzedakah. So, Vim Tomor Hiach Kafau Tumashil Tzedakah Makhtiv Matan Sfar Abitzidah. So, by tzedakah, it says, Dechiv Beglala Dabar Azeh, Yivarechacha, says, for giving tzedakah, Hashem will bless you. I think it's this week's Parshat Shavuot, no? And isn't that Ray? Yeah. So it's because on Shabbos, so today's Wednesday. So a few days from now, we're going to learn this. So it's people of the word Yibrech Hashem. Yaminim beperikol abasar. The Gemara is Masechet Chulin. Kol mitzvah to say Shematan Skor Abitzidah. If there's a positive commandment that the Torah provides a reward for it, Ein Beit Shemat Muzer Nada. So the Beis Din, I mean the earthly Beis Din, is not admonished to seek to enforce it. In other words, if it's a mitzvah essay, and the Torah says you get, you know, this reward for doing the mitzvah essay, It's like the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, this is my cheshbon. Here's this, and this reward, not getting reward, but that's the cheshbon, and you don't have to be involved with this. So how could it be that Rabbah forced this person to give staka? Staka has the matan spar b'tida. So Tos says several answers. It could be that he forced them with words. It means like he encouraged, like how can you not support him? That's what he means. Like, you know, he spoke to him until he, like a poor verter, until he gave the money. He says, Inami, or Katsu b'nei b'nei'ir, l'tei kach l'kach l'kodesh. Or perhaps the situation was that the people in that city agreed amongst themselves, like to have sort of like a community enactment that everybody should give X number of dollars each month. So the Gemara learns about Baba Batra that, you know, cities, they can make their own rules. And so maybe it means that in this city, they had a rule. Everybody has got to pay a certain amount of tzedakah. I guess maybe he was in arrears. And so after all the arrears, he said, that's it, you got to pay up. Or, or I feel like this. By tzedakah, it's true. It's matan schar b'tzida, but there's also lavim involved with tzedakah. In other words, it says not tonti tain lo, but there are lavim, they're negative commandments. So Bezdin can enforce the negative commandments. It says lo ta ametz lo tikvots. It says lo ta ametz at lubavcha, don't like harden your heart. Lo tikvots at yadcha, don't close your hand. Me'achicha hevyon. Kipatoch tetzachid yadcha lo v'beitamitem demasosher salo. So those, that's the way he'd be able to force him. All right, who's got questions, comments? Wait. Who? One second. It says, yeah, you mean, how could it be the Rav Nathan Bar Ami, since he's a Rav, how could he have been so in arrears with the Tzedaka? That I don't know. Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, the best thing for it, I mean, the best thing is forcing you to do a mitzvah. You still get rewarded for it. It's not that, I don't think in Shemayim they do the same cheshbon, but Einach Inami. All right? All right, everybody happy? Everybody good? All right, I don't know. Now, all right, let's see the further than Gemara. All right, ha 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 ha. Okay, now, all right, let's see further than Gemara. Wait. You're mixing a lot of different things. Wait. Say the fact pattern again. Wait, which Gemara is he talking about? Wait, when the father dies, the way I remember the Gemara is that the father like he's not in the picture anymore and so he would want, in other words, remember one case was where the Gemara that I'm remembering, which I think is the one you're referring to, is when it said that, isn't it about Mishpata, no? He said, didn't we just have this the other day? He said, one thing. Right. Wait. Yeah, here, isn't this, yesterday, is this yesterday's daf you're talking about? So, it was yesterday's daf? Did you hear it from me or not? Did you hear it from me?
No. Yes,
you heard it from me. So, it was not yesterday's daf. Well, in yesterday's daf, the Gemara had, he says,
Well,
The father doesn't consume the payro during the lifetime of his daughter. Now, this Gemara, was talking about Naflu Kharkal Yerusha, right? So in other words, if she yarshin property from her maternal grandfather, so the girl yarshin property from her maternal grandfather. So the Tanan Mishnah says that the father does not get the payroll from that land, but the husband does. Okay. Now, and then the Gemara said, then Rabbi Yosef Rehuda says that the father does have payroll during the lifetime. So the machloket whether the father has the payroll or not. So the Tanakhama holds that, for a husband, the chamin were talking payroll, so otherwise he won't redeem her from the captors. But the father, we're not going to say he's not going to redeem his own daughter. That's the Gemara you're referring. So she's yarshing the property. So should we award the payroll to the father? It's her property. Should we say that the father gets the payroll as a matter of right? And you want to say, and the Gemara says, according to the Tanakhama, it's Makloka Tanaim. But according to the Tanakhama, the Brisa, the father does not get the payroll, but the husband does get the payroll. And then one second. He says, and Rabbi Sudo says, the father also, if we don't give him the payroll, he may not want to redeem the daughter. He says she's got her own money. So according to that opinion, everybody gets the payroll. Okay, now your question is what? Well, that's the Tanakhama. So let me hear. So in other words, you want to say the same father that would redeem his daughter from captivity, he would automatically feed her. Well, it's nice if he would feed her, but the question is he obligated to do it? That's the issue the Gemara is discussing. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Okay. Well, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay. Let's all focus on the Gemara. Okay, we're 10 lines from the bottom, 15 lines from the bottom. I need everybody's attention. Okay, well, we'll finish the daf and everybody can talk. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Law, Amar Reish Lakish. So now we have a new halacha. Rabbi Law is the name Reish Lakish, Ba'usha Kinu. So we're hooking into these takanot of Usha. So the first thing kind of Usha related to the person being supporting his children. According to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, there was a takanan Usha, but the Gemara seemed to conclude the halacha was not this way. Now the Gemara is a different takanah. So Amar Reish Lakish Ushet Kinu Hakotev Melechasav Labanav. If a person during his lifetime he writes a shtar giving all of his property to his children, Huvi Ishto Nizonim Mehem. Notwithstanding the fact that he's given away all his, in other words, he's a multimillionaire. For whatever reason, he gave away all his property to the kids, but he and his wife have a right to be supported from the estate. That's a kind of Ushet. That's one kind of Ushet. I don't know why a person would do this, but if a person gave away all his property, the kind of Ushet is that the kids should support the parents. So Makif la Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira asks a strong kasha against this. V'yitem Rabbi Shum Bar Nachmani, Dolim Yizu Amru. He says, look, there's another halacha. In other words, he's going to say, why do we even need this takana solution? He says, we know a different halacha. Amana Toni Zoni Minachasav, that the almana, in other words, if he dies, his almana is supported from the estate. He says, Huvi Yishnomi Baya. So is it necessary to even say that they have to support him and his wife during their lifetimes? In other words, if we know there's a halacha already that the almana is supported from the estate, in other words, he's dead and leaves all the estate to the kids, the yarshning him, but they have to support the almana. So certainly when he's alive, they have to support the parents, the lechora. So the Gemara says, D'shalach Ravin b'igarte, Ravin sent in his letter, and I don't know what this letter was all about, Mishameid v'niach almana ubat, if a person died, and he left behind an almana and a daughter. Almana toni zonim inechasav. So his almana is supported from his estate. In other words, the daughter yarshin the whole estate, but the almana will be supported. Niseid abad, if the daughter had been married, almana toni seit minechasav. Then the almana is also supported from the nechasim. Meitah abad, let's say the daughter dies, Amar Rabbi Huda ben Afatosh Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Ayidia Yamase, Ba'amru, Amanatoni Nizonim Minachasav. So he's still been in that case, the Aman is supported from the Nechasim. Now, the only thing I want to add on a little bit here is that Rashi goes through this, that there's a, you know, in the fourth parak in Gittin, there are all these takanos for Shalom for the sake of like community, like peace, Tikkun Olam. And one takana they made is that if a person buys property, so it's let's say Reuven the husband was a multimillionaire, and then but he has a ksuba. The ksuba is $100,000 to the wife, and then but he sold off all these properties, and then Reuven dies or divorces his wife. So when they tikkun olam, they said that the lochim are not subject to the shibud from the ksuba. In other words, they felt like this, that everybody's, or in society, people are married. So if we're going to say that all properties are subject to the ksuba, nobody's going to want to buy properties. And right, I don't want to buy anything like that. So for tikkun olam, we said that the lokeach, rabbinic din. In other words, for tikkun olam, lokeach is immune from attack from the ksuba. Now, the son-in-law in this case, we view, in other words, if the daughter yarshins the property, we view the son-in-law as lokeach. We view the son-in-law as lokeach. But notwithstanding the fact that we view him as lokeach, and we're going to have, I think, more about this tomorrow, notwithstanding that we view the son-in-law as lokeach, we're not going to give the son-in-law immunity from the ksuba. They're going to be able to attest. Right, that's it. Now, so the Gemara says, who will you show me by? So obviously you have to support the man and his wife during their lifetime. So the Gemara says, my team, I would think like this. If we didn't say it explicitly, I would have made a distinction. Hatam hu d'leka d'tara. Look, when the husband dies and leaves a widow, there's nobody to work for her. So she needs to be supported by the estate. About Hacha, where he and she, they gave away all their property, let him work for him and for her. In other words, maybe that's the cheshbon, that he figures out I'll continue working. Kamash Balan. So the Kamash Balan, he's teaching, and that we're not going to say that way. And in a chinami, that they're still entitled to be supported from the estate. All right, now, one more halacha. And then we'll talk and then we'll do a little bit from the sheet and we'll see how it goes. So Ibailahu Hilchatakabate Ulay Hilchatakabate. So the Gemara asks, is the halacha, now the one we were quoting here was Rabbi Ilaa. So Rabbi Ilaa said in the name of Reish Lakish, and before we also had Rabbi Ilaa in the name of Reish Lakish. So to the first statement that Rabbi Ilaa made, the halacha was not like him. That the husband has to, the father has to support the kids. So they shame the kids, but they don't have to support them. So here, the second halacha is that kind of usha, that if a husband gives away all his property during his lifetime, that he and the wife get supported from. There's a halacha like that. So Tashma, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonatan, Habu Kaini. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonatan were standing together. Atu Gavra, a person came up. Gachim and Ashkid, Rabbi Yonatan Akare. He came and he kissed Rabbi Yonatan on his feet. Rabbis would love this. I'm all about them laughing. They kiss me. Okay. Anyway, so so he says, Amar le Rib Chanina. So Rib Chanina says, Rib Yonatan, my high, what's this all about? They're like, what's the guy coming over kissing you on your feet? Amar le, he says, I'll explain it to you. Koti ben chasal levanabhu. He had disposed of all of his property, gave all of his property to his kids. First mistake. He says, "Va'asitinu lizane," and I force the kids to support him. So the Gemara says, now Rashi learns, let's see the top line Rashi, "Va'asitinu kafitu tamachazka nish tarakil of the kinesa lothim yishuridin v'chabaveni." In other words, I went above and beyond like what the law requires, and I whatever pressured them whatever to support the father, and because I did this, the guy he loved. So he says, so if I say it's not a din, so he's making every effort to force the recalcitrant sons to support him, and that's why he likes him. So then if it's a din, so he had to do that. And so, in other words, why did this guy love him so much? He loved him so much because he was going above and beyond the kolah do it, lifting Yeshua din, but to force the kids to pay him. But so that's the semen that we're not following the halacha like this takana sucha. So we had two halachos that Rabbi Eloi said, or Reish Lakish and Rabbi Eloi said, and Reish Lakish that came were takana sucha. But in neither instance do we accept that that's the way it was. We don't accept it was takana sucha. All right. Now let me just do a little bit, and then we'll any questions, comments, thoughts. What?
Can you repeat the
question? You're saying Michael's asking a question. Yeah, for IRS purposes, whatever. Okay, Michael said that when he was president of the shul, he came to a gavir in the shul to ask for money. The gavir said, I gave all my property to the kids. Okay, what do you have for me, Bruce?
Yeah, that was my question, just to hear his question.
Okay. All right.
So,
what'd you say? Here. Okay. All right. Let me do a little story, and then we'll see if there's more time. Okay. All right, I'll do this. First, he's about the wealthy person. We would force them to give support for the kids. The Note of Yehuda was asked.
Slowly, please. Slowly.
But I can't do the whole thing if I go slowly. The Note of Yehuda was asked whether a woman who knows that her husband is stingy when it comes to giving tzedakah is permitted to give tzedakah consistent with his financial means, even though she knows he would be angered were to find out what she did. In other words, she's got access to the checking account. She knows he's got $1 zillion and she wants to make a big check for tzedakah, but it's his money. Can he do it? The Note of Yehuda answered that although Bezdin is authorized to force a person to give tzedakah, nevertheless, who made his wife, the judge, decide this matter on her own? Additionally, the Bezdin only has the authority to take the money forcefully from a person who does not give tzedakah voluntarily in his presence, but they are certainly not authorized to take money from him without his knowledge, since that would constitute theft. The Note of Yehuda added that anyone who rules that a wife is permitted to take her husband's money for tzedakah without his permission is only strengthening the hands of sinners, and that position does not even deserve a response. The Aruch HaShulchan qualifies this ruling. In the times of the Note of Yehuda, when Bezdin had the authority to forcefully collect tzedakah, there was no reason anyone, including one's wife, should take the law into her own hands and take tzedakah from someone without his knowledge. Nowadays, however, if a Rav was to determine how much money this person should be giving to tzedakah, it may be taken from him even without his knowledge. Why should anyone else suffer because Bezdin no longer has the authority to forcefully collect tzedakah if it could still be obtained? He also disregards the issue of considering the money to be stolen, because once it's determined that he owes X amount of money, there is no reason that it can be taken. There's no reason that it can be taken, since from that person's perspective, that is the amount he owes towards his tzedakah. There's no reason that it can't be taken. Anyway, he says the Chuvas Atzei Elabanon ruled that if Bezdin imposed the tax that is charged to every person who buys meat, there's no problem for a woman to pay the tax, even though her husband protests. The reason is that when she gives the tax, she's acting as an emissary for Bezdin, who is certainly empowered to charge and collect this tax, even forcefully if necessary. Here in the history of New York, it goes back over. With Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, where he was the first and last chief rabbi of the city of New York. So when he came, he didn't want to even do this, but they forced him to put like a tax on all birds that were shechted. And they put like a stamp, like a type of plumber, to say that the tax was paid. And this aroused like such a revolt from everybody. And it didn't work out well for him. Then why would you do which way? Yeah, they wanted to have the tax. The tax was going to go to support mashgichim, who would like take care of the meat. And this would be an idea. But for the Ashkenazi Jews who were in New York at the time, this is going back like late 19th century. So like the Russian government had something similar. They paid tax in Russia. And it was a whole big tumult. Anyway, now one last story, that'll be it. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to have it. Okay, now, in one building in Israel, there was a man who had a miserly streak regarding paying for the maintenance of his building. To all intents and purposes, he was respectable, even a little learned. but he nevertheless was convinced that the co-op board was taking away too much, that the building didn't really need to be cleaned, and so on. The fact that halakhically we follow the majority of tenants in the building and the norms of similar neighborhoods didn't make an impression on him. He refused to pay up. The person in charge of the building maintenance would not take this lying down. After he saw over a year had gone by, and this neighbor still refused to pay, he threatened the man. If you don't pay up immediately, I'll post a sign in the bulletin board of this building that you are in arrears. The miserly man was very careful about his honor, and the manager was sure this would do the trick. What, are you so wicked that you will embarrass me in public and forfeit your olam haba for money? I don't believe you would do such a thing. The frustrated manager asked Rebbe Yashuv Zatzal, do I have a right to post this man's name publicly? Yes, was the Gadol's immediate reply. When asked why, he replied, in Ksubas Memtet, we find that a man who refuses to feed his young children would be publicly shamed into doing his duty. They would announce in the market, even the cruel raven feeds her children, but so-and-so refuses. We learn from this that it is permitted to embarrass someone even to pay what is essentially a moral obligation. How much more fitting is it to embarrass this man? He is wrongfully enjoying the benefit of a well-maintained building without contributing to his fair share. I want to say something. Let me go off with it. Let's turn this off. Let me end the recording. Wait. Let me end the recording. One second.